with food back there in the back. We're going to have some fellowship after the service this morning. Be opening up your Bible, your good old King James Bible. If you don't have a King James Bible this morning, I encourage you to get one. There's a reason I'm saying that, and I'll be glad to explain that to you if you want to know why I'm saying that. But open up your King James Bible, Luke chapter number 16. We're going to be reading from the Bible. And this is not a parable. I know some people would like for it to be a parable, but it's not. And when it says there was a certain rich man, that means there was one. Luke chapter 16, we'll start a reading in verse number 19. We'll read all the way down to verse 28. May comment on some other verses, I don't know. But it says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There's a lot of people like that today. I don't envy them. If they knew what I knew, they'd envy me. But and there was a certain beggar. Now notice God gave his name, named Lazarus. He could have named that rich man. Had he done that, there'd be some poor mother grieve her heart because her son ended up in this place. But the Lord named this beggar, and he said his name was Lazarus, which was laid at the gate of this rich man. And Lazarus, he said, he's full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Solomon said there's one event that cometh to all, to the rich and to the poor, and it's death. Death is more certain than life. I know I'm going to die, I just don't know when and where. But to be honest with you, I'm not worried about it. I got eternal life. This old body I'm living in, it's going to fall back to the earth that gave it. But my spirit's going to return to God that gave it. And I'm looking forward to that day with passion. But it said, that rich man was buried. And in hell, like I said, this is not a parable. There was a rich man. There is a hell. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Now I want to clear this up. A lot of people talk about Abraham's bosom, so let's see if we can clear this up a little bit. And seeing Lazarus in his bosom. You understand Abraham's bosom now? Now, I'm not going to pick up one of these children, but if I had one of these children in my arms, you would see them in Eddie Wade's bosom. Abraham was promised that his seed would be greater than the sand of the sea without number. This is one of his sons. He's got him in his arms. Abraham, being the father of him, holding his son in his arms, this rich man sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father, notice that. Father Abraham, one thing crying to the wrong one, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Here it is again. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted and thou art again, there's this word, tormented. And besides all of this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send us him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also, here it is again, come to this place of torment. We won't stop our reading right there. And I want to preach today, if God would help me, on the torments of hell. And Father, Lord, I'm unable and incapable of doing anything without the help of God. And I yield myself completely to You right now. Lord, I yield myself as an empty vessel. I ask You to fill me. Ask You to give to me, to give, Lord, to these that are before me and these that might be listening. Lord, to the internet, Father, those that might hear this message. Father, I pray You'd preach to me and through me. I pray You'd have the preeminence in the preaching. May You, I pray, censor my tongue that it not speak words that are beyond, Lord, Your word and Your will. I pray, Lord, You would help us all today. Lord, pull back the veneer of our eyes and allow us, Lord, I pray, through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, to see the reality of this place called hell. Lord, I pray, dear Father, today, if there be any lost here today, may the pains of hell get a hold of them. Lord, like a woman in travail with child, I pray they'd cry out, Lord, because of the thought that they might end up in a place like this. Lord, I pray You'd rescue them today. And I pray, Father, Lord, today the Word of God would be anointed from on high. Lord, with power from on high. Lord, I pray it prosper in the thing it's sent to do. And I'll return void. And we'll ask these things. Be careful to ask them in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. The torments of hell. Hell's not a, you know, there's a lot of people wrote all kind of songs about hell. They say they're going to party down there in hell, and they do have parties in hell, screaming parties. Matter of fact, I got on that van back there on the back. The party in hell's been canceled due to the fire. I had a guy one time, I pulled my string a little bit, and he said, "You telling me there ain't going to be no party in hell?" And kind of caught me at a bad time. I got a little bit mad, and I said, "No, sir, there's going to be a party in hell." He said, "Oh, there is." I said, "Yes, sir, a screaming party. Are you going?" He said, "No, buddy, look, I'm a Christian. I just pulled in your string a little bit. And, you know, I have to admit, I still got a little salt about me. I'm not perfect. I never guess there will be, but some things I'll allow, some things I won't. And, I got to be careful about some things around me. I'm set for the defense of the gospel." And, Rick mentioned about Mamie having a little bit of salt about her, his mother-in-law. And, she's the one I told you about. They kept trying to get Rick and his wife in church, and she said, "I want y'all to come to church with me tonight," and they said they would, and before the service that night, she showed up at the house. Rick's laying on the couch watching TV with no intention of all going to church. Max Helen over there tending to the things of the house, and her mother showed up and said, "I thought y'all was going to church tonight." And her daughter, Max Helen, Rick's wife, said, "We ain't got nothing to wear." And she just went right by her, went upstairs, got a handful of clothes, come down, said, "What's wrong with these?" And made them mad, but they went. Had a little salt about her. Jimmy Hood come down from Columbus, Ohio. Y'all don't know Jimmy Hood, but he's a street preacher. Those signs that we hold when we go up on the square, Jimmy gave me those signs. Jimmy, he's pretty much got a lot of salt about him. He's pretty rough. Jimmy's up there preaching in Bethel one day, and he said, "Real men don't change diapers." And the reason I remember this, Rick mentioned at Mammy's funeral. And at the end of that service, Mammy come over to Jimmy. She said, "Do you believe Rick's the man of God?" And Jimmy said, "Well, yeah." She said, "He changed diapers," walked out the door. I just want you to know, some women have some salt about them. There's some things I've got some salt about. When it comes to preaching on hell, I want to be real careful. The one reason is, there is a real hell. Amen. There are people going to hell. There are people there right now. And when people stop going to hell, I'll stop preaching on hell. Amen. I think every preacher ought to have enough of God in him preach about hell every now and then, maybe more than less. Jesus preached about hell more than He did about heaven. He gave a fair warning right here about this dreadful place. We'd never even known there was a hell if Jesus hadn't told us this. But hell is a place of torments, verse 28. I'm sorry, verse 23. He said, "And being in torments," hell's not a place I would wish on my worst enemy. Hell's a place that's fit for one person, and that's the devil. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, that hell was made for the devil and his angels. Let me say this, it's a fit place for one such as him. Amen. I'm going to take my jacket off here. Plan on preaching this morning. But I'll tell you what, buddy. Hell's waiting right now to swallow up those that don't get ready. I'm telling you, if death comes and you're not ready, I'm sure everybody in here, Brother Eddie, I'm either saved or I have intentions of getting saved. I don't want to go to that place called hell. If you don't want to go to a place like hell, you ought to make preparation before death shows up. Because if death shows up and you're not ready for heaven, I want you to know you'll be guilty of sin, and sin will send you to a place called hell. Amen. God bless you women for amen. And I appreciate that. I'll tell you right now, boy, hell's not no laughing matter. Guy wrote a song, all my friends are in hell. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want my friends in hell. All my friends get saved. All of them go to heaven. I'll be honest with you, I don't have any enemies as far as I know except Satan. He deserves to go to hell, and I wish he was there already so we could have a little bit of heaven down here. But as long as there's a devil walking about down here, it's going to be hell down here till Jesus comes and gets us out of this hell, amen. And my mama used to always say, this is hell down here. It is. It's a man-made hell. It's because we've made it that way. Ain't amazing one man, you know, reading the Bible through this year, happened to notice here's a man named Adam. And he's the only man I know that had heaven on earth. Amen. He truly did have heaven on earth, Rick. And he didn't stay heaven very long. The devil found a weak place. And let me say, he's always looking for a weak place. He will find a way to get in. That's why, buddy, you better have armor on.
That's right.
Amen. You better be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, because you ain't no match for the devil. And I'll tell you what. That devil found a weak place. He found it in Eve. She didn't know the Word of God enough to withstand the devil. And the devil come. He always does come at a good time. But I'll tell you what, he caused that woman to break that one commandment she gave to her husband. He broke it. God comes seeking them, they're guilty, and all of a sudden He cursed the woman, He cursed the man, He cursed the ground, He cursed the serpent, which was Satan. The Bible tells you was in the Garden of Eden. Revelation will tell you that old serpent. Ezekiel will tell you, Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14 will tell you several names that the devil has. It became a literal hell on earth. It's a man-made hell. It's in no comparison to be compared with the hell I'm preaching about this morning. You know, down here, yeah, you're tormented down here, but not like hell. Amen. I used to work in a place called Edens, and we had furnaces back there. I worked in heat treat, and they put these gears in there, Jesse, and they had to stay in there for like 24 hours. And at the end, they come out the back there, and when that door opened up, and then flames ushered out of that door, and he looked in that fire, and all them gears stuck in that furnace, it was like looking into hell. There wasn't no missing it, boy. It wasn't like the Wizard of Oz, neither. I mean, buddy, you could feel the heat from it. It was so hot, I lost time. I got burnt just because I got too close. I got burnt more times than once. I got scars all over me. I got burnt just from getting too close to those gears. If you touch one of those gears, it would literally burn completely through you. Sometimes they'd fall off and fall down the floor and they'd burn through the concrete. But every time those doors opened and I went in there with that fork to get them gears out, I was sitting there thinking, man, hell's even hotter than this. And I tell you what, boy, being mindful of that place, being a preacher, being saved, I kept being reminded there's people in a place like this. And I'm getting them gears out, but there ain't no getting out of hell. Oh me, the torments of hell. That rich man said, I'm tormented. I tell you what, he ain't alone. The Bible said in Isaiah, hell hath enlarged herself. The reason hell has enlarged itself is because there's so many people going to hell. Now I'm telling you, all them volcanoes, they keep erupting. It tells me one thing. It's getting so full in the center of this earth that there ain't no room for all of that hell. And it's spewing out of those volcanoes. And it's spewing out to show you how hot a place hell is. Every time one of those volcanoes erupt, it tells me somebody just went down and hell had to enlarge itself a little more. You know, them scientists, they're so smart. They ain't smart enough to realize if they don't get saved, they're going to this place. They say there's no such thing as hell. Ain't it amazing that they say this world became by Big Bang Theory, and yet God said that heaven was above and hell was beneath. And I tell you what, they know and all know that the center part of this earth is so white hot, it's never cooled down, it's never going to cool down. And the reason it's white hot is because God made a place called hell. He said the fire never shall be quenched. Out there where I worked out there at Eaton's, we pulled them gears out, and man, I ain't kidding you. They was like a kind of a clear, transparent orange. We put them in this thing with this big long pitchfork. We put it in there and push this button and it'd come down and it would quench them with oil. And as it quenched them, boy, it'd be smoke and I mean just loud noise, just shh, all over the place. But there ain't no quenching the fire of hell. I'll tell you what, buddy, if hell's a reality, you're talking about making a believer out of someone. You let the door of hell shut and you'll be like this rich man. He said, I am tormented in this flame. I'll tell you what, buddy. I know there ain't much preaching about hell at Joel Osteen's church. There ain't much preaching about hell in them big mega churches. You know why? It's not popular. People don't want to hear messages about hell. They want to hear about heaven. I'll tell you what, buddy, if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to escape the damnation of hell. And there's only one way to escape the damnation of hell. Jesus said, except you repent, you're going to perish. Amen. My brother-in-law one time, I was witnessing to him at our house. He's kind of laughing off about hell. He said, I want to go to hell. Trying to shake me witnessing to him. I just put him to the test. I said, you don't mind proving that, do you? He said, I'll prove it. What I need to do? Brother Andy, I just went over and turned my kitchen range on high and it got good and cherry red. And I said, just lay your face right down on that burner and then you can prove to me you want to go to hell. He said, I ain't going to put my face on that burner. I ain't no fool. I said, that just burn you superficially, buddy. I said, hell's not like that. Hell will continue. It's eternal. That fire never will be quenched. That boy fell right in front of my kitchen range, right there in my kitchen, cried out to God, asked the Lord to save him. Amen. Boy, I wish God pull a lid off of hell. Let some of us look down in there so we get a greater burden for our lost loved ones. Amen. That rich man said, I'm in torments. Amen. The torments of hell, I tell you what, is the flame. That fire never shall be quenched. Can you imagine being a fireman? And you've been trained all your life how to extinguish fires and end up in a place called hell. And no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, you cannot quench this fire. It's an unquenchable fire and the fire shall never be quenched. And I'm telling you, this fire don't cool down. It don't go out. It never shall be quenched. And if you end up in this fire, you'll be tormented. Amen. Brother Eddie, you're going to scare somebody. I wished I could. That's right, I really do. Mark chapter 9, verse 43 says, the fire never shall be quenched. Mark chapter 9, verse 45, the fire that never shall be quenched. Mark chapter 9, verse 46, the fire that never shall be quenched. Mark chapter 9, verse 48, the fire that never shall be quenched. That fire is a torment of hell. But there's more torments than the fire. If a fire was all there was to it, some people might get used to the fire. But you also got the torment of the thirst. You know that man, that rich man, I reckon he must have thought he still had some authority. He said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I'm tormented in this flame. That little drop of water right there, they give $1 million for that in hell. I've got a fortune right here. If I could just figure out some way to get this down to hell, Brother Melvin, I'd buy the building, the farm, all the cars. I'd buy your houses. I'd pay off all your debts. If I could just get this bottle of water down there. You talking about, boy, precious. Here I am, got a bottle of water in my hand. I'm not thirsty. But if I do get thirsty, Sister Sophia, give me a drink of water. But there ain't no water in hell. That's one of the torments. You get down there and boy, the fire is so hot. You get down there, boy, and I mean the heat is just so unbearable. But all of a sudden now, you've got a thirst. I've been thirsty before. Out there where I'm working at now, some of the pills that we do, they're real powdery. And I can't help it. They take you all your saliva out of your mouth and you're dry. You can't have no candy, no gum, no nothing. And here I am trying to get some kind of moisture in my mouth. And I go in there on break and I look, my nostrils look like I've been snorting cocaine. I got white powder all around my nostrils. In the corner of my mouth, it's all powder. But all down here, I'm just thirsty. And the first thing I want to do is go get a glass of water. The next thing I want to do is a big cup of coffee. Amen. But I'll tell you what, thirst. When you get thirsty, boy, nothing will satisfy thirst like a glass of water. He said, let him dip the tip of his finger in water. That tells me one thing, Abraham and Lazarus had water. And cool my tongue, that tells me his tongue's burning too. For I am tormented in this flame. The flame and the thirst, they go hand in hand. One of the torments of hell is the fact that you're thirsting. And he said, just one drop, cool my tongue. Jesus on the cross, John 19:28, he said, I thirst. Let me tell you, there's a reason he said that. He was in hell when he made that statement. He said, I thirst. He descended to the lower parts of this earth, also ascended up to heaven. But I want you to know, at that time right there, he was truly in the flames of hell. And Jesus on the cross said, I thirst. Amen. Let me tell you something. You end up in hell and you'll thirst too. You'll thirst in hell. You'll thirst, friend. There'll be no water cooler there. You forget about hell freezing over. I want you to know, you better be careful not to end up in a place like this. Amen. Torments of hell. I wish there wasn't no such place, but since I'm convinced otherwise, I will preach about a place like hell and pray that you won't end up there. But he said, I'm tormented in the flame. He said, I'm tormented by my thirst. But he said also the torment of separation. Look at verse number 26. Abraham said to this man, he said, besides all of this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. There's a separation between Abraham and this rich man. There's a separation between Abraham, Lazarus, and this rich man. And Abraham said, we can't come to you. You can't come to us. There's a place between us. It's fixed so that there's a separation. Listen. You end up in hell. You're not never going to see your family again. I wouldn't want my family in hell. I want my family to go to heaven. There ain't no excuse why we can't all go to heaven. You know, we just sung that song. There'll be no separation there. No more trouble. No more tears. Heaven's just the opposite of hell. And when someone goes to hell, it's eternal. When someone goes to heaven, it's eternal. And the hell and the heaven will never see one another ever again. I'm telling you, smoke of their torment will extend up forever and ever. I'm telling you, hell is a place of separation and torment and thirst. Don't go there, amen. The separation between you and God. You know, if you're here today lost, you ain't been separated from God. God dealing with you right now. If you're lost, the Bible said godly sorrow, work of repentance not to be repented of. I couldn't even get lost by myself. The goodness of God led me to repentance. God got to dealing with me. He got to deal with me through preaching. You know, I tried to hide from the preaching of the Word of God, but it got back there just like Nathan did in David's face, and it got back there and said, Eddie, you're the man. And I tell you what, buddy, I stood guilty. But you know what? In hell, God don't deal with you no more. There's a separation. For the first time in your life, you'll know what it means to be separated from God. Cain said, my punishment's greater than I can bear. To be separated from God's greater punishment than the flame or the thirst. Because all of a sudden now you realize how much God tried, how much He loved you, how much He stood in your way, how long He waited on you, hoping you'd come to repentance, hoping you'd repent, hoping you'd come to Him and receive Him, and in hell you'll be separated. Amen. not just separated between you and God, but separated between you and your friends. Charity tried to get a bunch of her friends to come this morning. And I'm kind of glad they didn't come hear a message like this, but I commend her highly. She loves her friends, people she goes to school with. She's out there trying to invite them to come to church and wanting them to get saved, wanting them to go to heaven. But I'll tell you what, if your friends go to hell, they'll no longer be your friends. They'll hate you. They'll hate you because you didn't win them. They'll hate you. You know that boy I told you about, Steve Wheeler, they told me, he said, I can't live it like you. His mother, I met her at a yard sale. She said, Steve's dying of cancer. If you want to see him alive, you better go see him. I went immediately to him. You know what he did? He cursed me. He said, I don't want you blank-to-blank prayers. I don't want you to come and see me. I want you to leave. I wasn't about to leave. I said, Steve, you're my friend. I love you. He cursed me. He cursed my family. Called my children names. He's in bitterness. You're to hear him talk now. You're to hear him now. Eddie! Wish you'd come one more time. I'm ready to listen now. I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking right. I wasn't talking right. Oh yeah. Hell changed all this left, this liberal stuff. All this atheist stuff. All this science so-called falsely. All of these that are so smart that they don't think they need God, hell will change all of that.
That's right,
oh, yeah. That's right. Oh, just in case somebody's listening by way of internet, this is Brother Eddie Wade preaching. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm giving you fair warning. You better seek the Lord while He may be found. You better get a refuge for your soul. You better get your name in the book of life. You better get your sins on the blood of Jesus. And if not, you're going to hell. That separation. You know, if you loved your family, you ought to love them enough to get saved. You ought to not break their heart to know that you didn't go to heaven. You ought to love your family enough to leave a testimony. You know, Mammy left her testimony behind. Brother Anthony, she had her preachers already picked out. Sister Anita, she had every song already picked out. She had her coffin picked out. She had all of the funeral all arranged. You know what she did? Something unusual. She had a great big basket of Hershey's Kisses. She said, Mammy wanted to give you one last kiss.
Amen.
I got one of Mammy's kisses. I didn't put it in my pocket and let it melt. I put it in my mouth and let it melt. And I said, Mammy, I love you. If she'd been alive, Brother Melvin, she'd gave me one more kiss. But that's the way Mammy was. When she saw you, she'd kiss you. She'd say, I love you. And I tell you what, buddy, if you love your family, and Mammy loved her family, you ought to say, I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to get saved. I want you to go to heaven. I don't want to be separated from you forever. I want you to come with me to heaven. Amen. Jesus said, I've prepared a place for you. It's heaven. Amen. He said He made a place for the devil and it's hell and you ain't got no business there. You'll trespass the will of God, the love of God, the word of God to go to hell. And multitudes are going. Amen, Sister Carolyn. But oh, you'll be separated between you and God. He won't convict you no more. Woman one time, she told God, she said, you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. He honored that. Oh yeah. Buddy, it was done. It's a done deal. Yeah, Bill Ledbetter went to her grave. She said, you waste your time, Bill. She said, I told God as a little girl, you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. Buddy, He granted, Sophia.
Amen.
You can't get to heaven without the help of God. It's too big a bridge.
Amen.
You know, we can't make it without Him.
No.
I need Him to convict me. I need Him to draw me to Him. Buddy, I'll tell you what, you don't have to worry about God dealing with you no more if you end up in hell. You'd be just like that woman. Buddy, I'll tell you what, she knew her fate was sealed. She said, y'all waste your time. Pray for me all you want. She said, I hope you can. But God, just don't speak to me no more. Boy, she made a bad mistake there. He won't convict you no more. You'll be cut off from the living. There'll be separation between you and your family and you and God. You know what he said? That rich man finally got to saying something right. Verse 27, he said, I pray therefore, Father Abraham, that you send Lazarus to my father's house. You know one of the torments of hell? Thank you, honey. One of the torments of hell is you're worried about someone following you there. My pastor had a picture one time, and I wished I had it. I don't. Oh, I'd hold it up if I had it. But it showed a set of stairs. At the top of these stairs, there was a godly mother, and she was down on her knees, and she was praying. At the bottom of those stairs, there was a man with a bottle of beer in his hand or something. I don't know. I just heard Rick talk about it. But this man was down in the lower part of these steps, and he was getting ready to make a step, and the next step was the flames of hell, and he had a little boy right behind him, and that little boy said, "Where are we going, Daddy?" And you're talking about a preacher saying a thousand words. You got a mother at the top of those steps, and she's praying for her family, and her husband come tied to her prayer, taking her little boy and going to hell. He didn't want his five brothers to end up there. I don't want my family to end up there. I don't want nobody to follow me. If I was going to hell, I wouldn't want nobody to follow me there. But I'll tell you what, this rich man, buddy, he got woke up. He said, "I've got five brethren." He said, "Send him to him that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." But one of the torments of hell is you wonder who's going to follow you there. You know, if you will follow somebody, won't you follow them to heaven? Paul said, "Be ye followers of me as I'm following Christ." You want to follow someone, follow them to heaven. Don't follow them to hell. God help that dope dealer that's got the curse upon him because he's made a league with sin and Satan and determined to live a wicked, evil life and brought reproach upon his family. And I'm telling you what, brought a curse upon his home. Oh, man. The day death comes, reality sits in. You know what that drug dealer say? He say, "Please don't let my family follow me where I've went. Don't let them come to me down here in this place called hell." I'll tell you what, buddy. The reality of hell sinks in. It sunk in with this boy. Not only did he realize, this rich man, that his riches couldn't help him now, but he realized the torment of the flame. He realized the torment of the thirst. He realized the torment of separation. And then he turned to himself and he said, "Somebody go warn my family." God bless you women. He said, "Lest they come to this dreadful place." Yeah, go ahead and party down. Go ahead and play your loud rock and roll. Go ahead and put your iPhones in. Go ahead and put your earplugs in. I see this one guy back home, and he's always got headphones on, and he just closed the world out. He's in his own world. Nobody can get through to him. He's not open to conversation. I don't even know if even God can speak to him. He's just living his own world. I mean, he's going his own way. I mean, no one's going to get through to this boy. He's just got everything turned off. Let me tell you something, buddy. Hell is an eye-opener. It'll wake a man like that up. He'll realize it's a dreadful place of torment. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't wish hell on nobody but the devil. He's the one that deserves it. But oh, one last thing. The torment of turning down heaven. God didn't just die for the sins of the whole world. He welcomed. He said, "Come to me. All ye." He put the welcome mat out. He said, "I'm welcoming you. Come. You don't have to be Rockefeller. You don't have to be wealthy. You don't have to be upstanding. Come. Just as you are. Oh, I'm going to clean up and then I'm going to come, brother." They forget you can't do it. If you could have, you'd done it. Forget that. Come as you are. We sang that song, "Just as I Am." That's how you'll have to come. If you're drunk, you'll have to come a drunk. You'll have to get the Lord to get the drunk out of you. Give me. Took him about 2 weeks, but he got it out. I mean, buddy pulled it out, cut that umbilical cord, and I'm no longer hooked to the bottle. But he put the welcome mat down, and he said, "Whosoever will, let him come, drink the water of life freely." He said, "Whosoever will, let him call upon the name of the Lord, and he shall be saved." Romans 10:13. He put the welcome mat down. He said, "Come, come now, come. I'm telling the torment of turning down heaven. Well, you'll regret it for eternity. You'll say, I could have had heaven." That'll be a torment, boy. To know you didn't have to be there. To know you could have had a home in heaven. To know that God was right and you was wrong. To know that all them liars Them harlots been preaching. Ted Nugget, he's in the wife swapping now. You know, the world still thinks he's a preacher. The Bible said, by their fruit you'll know them. Isn't that right? When they found him, when he was in his perverted place, you know, doing them perverted things, and he got all red-faced when he got caught, and now he's flaunting out that him and so-and-so swapping wives. It don't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. And the world thinks he's still a great preacher. Well, I'll tell you what, boy, hell be a fitting place for someone like that. Caused a lot of people to stumble. Caused a lot of people to question, fall from their steadfastness, make shipwreck of their faith. To think maybe there's not a hell. Listen, the great lengths that Jesus went through to keep people from going to hell. The messages that He preached. I'm telling you, He didn't censure. And He said if your hand was going to cause you to go to hell, He said, cut it off. He said you'd be better off. He said if your eye was going to cause you to go to hell, He said, pluck it out. He said if your foot was going to cause you to go to hell, He said, cut it off. You'd be better off. I'm going to tell you something. He said if you want to about Jesus, He preached about hell. He pleaded with people not to go there. You end up in hell, I'll tell you one thing. You'll have an eternity to regret your mistake of not having a home in heaven. Oh, Father, I pray, dear Lord, today that You rose above the words I spoke. And I pray, Lord, today You visited the hearts that are before me. And Father, if there be one here today that's lost, I pray right now the pains of hell will get a hold of them like a woman in travail with child. And I pray they'd cry out with conviction. I pray, Lord, their feet would fill the flames. And I pray, Lord, they'd run quickly up here and get a refuge for their soul and repent of their sins and receive Jesus, the Lord and Savior, and get their name in the book of life and their sins under blood. And Lord, if they don't, they deserve hell. And I pray You'll send them here today. Lord, You're no respecter of persons. And I pray there'd be urgency upon this invitation. And I know You'd be a man of Your word. And I pray, Lord, You'd back up what I said 100%. In Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Melvin, would you please give us an invitation on him? You think about what I just said. Don't end up in this dreadful place. This ain't no fairy tale. It's the word of God. And I'll tell you what. You look at what Jesus went through at Calvary, and you'll know there's a real place called hell. If you thought you could do anything to save yourself, He wouldn't have had to went through that. But you can just look at the crucifixion and look at what Jesus went through, the humiliation and the suffering and the beating and the spitting and the crown of thorns and all the shame He endured, and you know there's a real place called hell. There ain't none of this there.
181. Just as I am without one plea, but that the blood was shed for me, and there thou biddest. He's bidding. He's bidding you to come. Oh, Lamb of God, are you coming? Are you coming? Come just as I am bidding. Don't wait. Come now. Won't you get victory today? Don't let the devil defeat you and tell you you've got plenty of time. He's a liar and a father. Each final Lamb of God, I come, just as I am. Are you tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt? Are you fighting fears without, within? Won't you come to Jesus? He can fix it. Oh, He's standing here right now with outstretched arms saying, why don't you come? Why don't you come right now? He put this message on my heart.
I know we may be pleading with you the last time.
Just
won't you come this morning? Oh, it's early in the year. I'll tell you what. It may be the final hour for someone off today. Oh, we thank you. Yeah, tomorrow will be like any other day. Maybe it won't. Maybe there'll be a midnight cry tonight. Oh, yeah. Oh, Lamb of God, I come. Thank you, Brother Melvin. I'll tell you what, I preached to you and pleaded with you, already prayed for you, called your name out to God. If God can't move you, I'm convinced I sure can't. But I'll tell you one thing, you ought to get someone by the hand and say, I need to get saved, I need to do it now. And there ain't no better time than right now. God gave me this message. I don't know why. But I'll tell you right now, there is a rich man. He's in hell. He's tormented in a torment of hell. Don't join him. Go to that blessed place that Jesus said he went away prepared. A place called heaven. I guess it's little Peyton says she wants to sing a song. I've got a mansion. Little girl right here come up here and ask the Lord to save her. God save us such as come to him. She's got a mansion. What about you today? What do you got to look forward to? Well, the invitation is still open. If you want to come, you can. Anybody got a testimony? Don't forget, we're going to have food in the back, fellowship in the back. If you got something you want to talk to Brother Eddie about, you come to me and we'll talk. We'll go somewhere and talk one-on-one. I'm pretty much preaching one morning here. Little Daniel back there in the back. He stepped out, stepped back in, stepped out, stepped back in, stepped out, stepped back in. Service got over with. I was back door shaking hands. Daniel's still in here. I wondered. I said, Daniel, is everything all right? He said, is it too late to get saved? I said, no, sir. Amen. And Daniel walked right up here, buddy. He done business with God.
Amen.
It ain't never too late to get saved unless you die in your sins. Too late then. Anybody got a testimony? Amen. I bless Sister Molly. Amen. 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 God bless you, Sister Molly. Amen. You know, the Lord inhabits the praises of His children. That's what she's doing. She's praising her Lord. Tell you what, we ought to all be like that. Just want to praise my Lord. Amen. Anybody else this morning? I brought a handkerchief with me this morning. Amen. Yes, He did. He's still come this morning. No better time than right now.
Spotless the Lamb you led. All heaven's foundation were shaken that day. But for changing His mind, He could have
done. He
knew exactly.
Jesus told His disciples one day they'd come here because
He must have loved me alone. How many tears have I brought to His eyes? I've heard Him more often than not. Still infinite mercy responds to my cry.
Yeah.
Oh, He must have loved me alone.
I'm ready to go.
How many tears have brought to His eyes, I've heard Him more often than not. Still infinite mercy responds to my cry. He must have loved me enough.
Yes.
Infinite mercy responds to my cry. He must have loved me.
Stretch out two arms this far and die.
Thank you,
Praise God. God bless you, Sister Carolyn. Amen. The Bible said herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. He gave His Son to be propitiation for our sins. That's
thank
love.
You, Jesus, for saving my soul.
God bless you, Brother Anthony. Amen. He said He saved your soul. Was one. Made me whole. Anybody else this morning? You going to sing another, brother? Anybody else this morning? Amen. Amen.
The other one always had to say, I accept your apology.
Wow.
Then we had to say, thank you for accepting your apology. You know, the reason I said that is there's so many times, you know, whenever after I got saved, I would lift my hands and
I'd
say, thank you for accepting my apology.
God bless you, sister.
And I didn't thank the Lord for accepting my apology. I know now as an adult that that's mercy.
Yeah.
But as a child, I just knew that I was taking my apology.
Amen.
That he accepted it.
Bible said if we confess, he's faithful and just to forgive. Confession's pretty good. Just don't do it to the Pope. Don't do it, Brother Eddie. Go to Jesus. Say, I'm sorry. Won't you forgive me? And you say, go in peace. My sins are forgiven. He delights in mercy. Mercy is new every morning. He don't just pardon. The Bible said he'll abundantly pardon.
Amen.
Anybody else got a praise or not? We're going to get dismissed here real quick.
Well, I feel like if I don't say this, I turned the Lord away when I was young, you know, twice.
Yeah.
Teachers would take us to a day service, you know, they'd have preaching day at night.
Yeah, school, right?
But I tell you, that was good.
Yeah, man, y'all hear that?
Kids to church and where they hear the gospel preached. Oh, ain't that awful if they can't do that now?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the world gives bad checks to people leaders have, you know. But, you know, the Lord dealt with me, and I didn't go to prayer and get saved like I ought to, you know, like these young people did.
Right.
And then Mary and I got married. We'd been married about 3 weeks. And we went to church. Just the preacher I worked with, you know.
Yeah.
He got to go to church with him. Got to go to church. And we lived in Jeffersonville and went to the old church. And I can't say the Lord revealed to me that night. I don't remember. And if some of these people or some people say, well, I don't feel the Lord drawn me or dealing with
you. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what, you're getting an altar.
That's right.
Deal with you. I tell you, it's a serious thing.
That's right.
But I went to Auburn. I went anyway. Where they convicted me.
That's right.
And I didn't get saved that night. But I keep going to church regularly.
Yeah.
I didn't miss our seven every time. And kept seeking the Lord, going on seeking him. And, you know, almost a year later, our Lord saved me at home.
That's right.
When he said, the day that you seek me in your whole heart,
you're fine.
You're going to be back.
Yeah.
You're going to have to seek him. I mean,
yeah.
That's the only way you're going to be saved. And I guess the Lord. Maybe use this, I hope, but they
yeah.
Hear if they're not feeling it wrong, and they need to go for anyway. Seek the Lord, you know, until he'll deal with you and save you.
It's true.
He'll seek them,
Give you scripture back up what Brother Melvin said. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. I tell you what, he's waiting.
He
said, all that come to him, I'll no wise turn them away. He don't reject, don't refuse, he receives.
You know,
said you have not called yes. Go ahead, I'm done. Yeah.
Seeking
you shall find, knocking you shall be opened.
Yeah, there won't be no rest in heaven.
You
know, no. Like the, right. Not hard,
yeah. You know,
they won't be no rest there. They've been squirming, twisting, turning,
right. No relief, no rest.
And it's just as real as you were saying.
Oh, yeah.
They ain't no death. It's going to be just like the Bible said. And they ain't lying
in
that Bible. It's all true.
Amen. I asked the Lord this morning to break my heart as I preached to y'all about hell. That's why I brought this napkin. I wanted to preach through tears. I can't produce them. It's kind of like the rain. I can ask for it. And I'll tell you right now, buddy, there's tears in hell. And I mean, buddy, I mean there's tears. Yeah. Sure enough. Anybody else got anything on your heart? I appreciate that testimony. We went as far as we can go. Amen, Sister Sophie. Yeah,
right.
It is.
Right. Prayer can do anything if you're in the right mind to put it
right.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true. Our Sunday school lesson this morning said, with God, nothing's impossible, and that's through prayer. You bring it to God, you'll see Him do great and mighty things. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call upon me today in trouble.
Amen.
1-800-GOD, and I'll show you great and mighty things you know not. Amen. Brother Howard, dismiss us. Word of prayer, brother. Don't forget about the food in the back.
We
Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Amen. Lord, I keep figuring stuff out with him. I bless you, Brother Luke.
That's a fine young man.
Yeah.